Turn to Proverbs 6:6. I'm going to cover a couple of verses tonight. Proverbs 6:6 says, "Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise." So Solomon had been talking about how to avoid shirtiship for the last five verses, and now he switches gears and talks about how to avoid laziness. So let's look at this phrase by phrase. Go to the ant. An ant is a small social insect of the Hymenopterus order, celebrated for its industry, and emet, a pismire. There are several genera and many species exhibiting in their various habits and economy some of the most remarkable phenomena in the insect world. And that was actually right from the OED. So it probably makes sense why the Lord would choose the ant to tell us, especially the lazy guy, to go to, because ants are industrious little creatures. So here the Lord is, in a more broader sense, telling us to learn from the animals. And there are some things that we can learn about animals by observing them. If you turn to Proverbs chapter 30, there's several animals here listed, and we can learn some things from them, either some of which to do, some of which to not do. Proverbs 30 and verse 15 says, "The horse leech hath two daughters, crying, give, give. There are three things that are never satisfied, yea, four things, say not, it is enough." So we learn here that horse leeches are greedy. They are covetous. And we learn not to be leeches, right? It's a pretty good lesson there. Don't be a leech. Don't be like the horse leech. Don't be sucking off of people and not producing yourself. And then down in verse 26, we read about the conies. Verse 26, "The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks." Conies are rabbits, in case you didn't know that. And they're feeble, so they're weak. They're not exactly, you know, strong. Strong animals able to construct themselves an edifice. So what do? They go find one. They find one that's already built. They make their houses in the rocks. They find a little cleft in the rock and make their house there. So that teaches us to work smart, not hard, right? Don't reinvent the wheel if you don't have to. If you find a house that's been built and abandoned because it was foreclosed on, just go squat in it. That's what you learn here from the conies. I'm not really advocating that, but people do that. They just go move in until they get kicked out. It's pretty cheap rent. And then the locusts in verse 27. "The locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands." A band is an organized company, a troop, set of armed men, also of robbers, assassins, etc. Like roving bands of criminals we hear about, right? So from the locusts, we can learn to the power of sticking together, right? If we stick together and we remain unified, then we can be strong. Despite having no king, they organize themselves, and they can destroy entire lands just by sticking together. One locust isn't going to hurt anything. He's not, you know, he's going to eat, you know, a little pittance of something. But when you have a billion of them swarm in and they all stick together, they'll completely consume a land. And it's not just in the Bible. Africa's been having them, like this year, these huge swarms of locusts. I think billions of them. And just... Really? No kidding. Huh. Wow. They can totally devastate a land, just eat everything in sight. It's amazing.
A few years ago, I think locusts sometimes refer to grasshoppers.
They're similar.
A few years ago, I saw them do it in Nebraska.
Really?
They just ate the grass right down to the dirt, and all you saw was dirt.
Wow.
It was terrible.
Yeah. I just wonder where they all come from, if they're...
In Nebraska, they actually came up out of the dirt. Eggs had been laying in the dirt waiting
for years. Kind of, probably like cicadas.
Proper conditions, and they just and then they moved on.
Yeah, and probably laid eggs somewhere else and died, and then there'll be another recurring of them eventually. It's like cicadas every 7 years or 17 years.
Yeah. It's got different stages to that one too. Like there's some cicada years are worse than others because there's different breeds and stuff.
Yep. We had those so bad in Ohio 1 year. It was like when you were driving down the road, it was like you were in a snowstorm Or we say we're just they were all over the road. They were everywhere. It was, couldn't hardly see where you're going. It was really something.
We come back from Colorado, was it 2 3 weeks ago? And for 3 or 4 miles, our truck looked like a mess because of the grasshoppers and stuff we did.
Oh, yeah.
Hundreds of them.
It just looked like you were going into hail or something, but it was black.
Yeah. Oh, times like that, you'd be glad when you don't have a motorcycle. And then we have spiders in verse 28. It says, a spider taketh hold with her hands and is in king's palaces. So spiders are small and despised, at least by me they are, but yet they live in a much nicer place than I do, or at least some of them do. They can. So they teach us how to creep in to somebody else's place unawares and stay with them and just make sure they don't find out about you. I'm kidding, obviously. Everybody's looking at me like, yeah, that's good, good advice, Pastor. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, my dry sense of humor that nobody gets.
I thought it.
You just didn't laugh. But.
Zoning out.
And she was zoning out. And the rest of you have no sense of humor, so there you go. All right, and then the lions are strong and fearless. Verse 30. It says, a lion which is strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. So, of course, we can learn courage from the lion. Jesus Christ is called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. Okay, so it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard. So he's admonishing a sluggard in this passage. And a sluggard is one who is naturally or habitually slow, lazy, or idle. One who is disinclined for work or exertion of any kind, a slothful or indolent person. So it's another name for a lazy guy. People that sit around and don't do anything. Sluggards don't like to work. They'd rather sit around and take part in recreation. Right? They just... not much for work. They're slow. That's what the definition said. They work slowly. They walk slowly. Now, they do everything slowly. You've probably seen people like that. They might show up to work because they have to, but they will just walk and mosey along and take their good old time, and they're not in a hurry for anything. Drives me crazy. Makes me want to push them out of the way. If you turn to Titus 1, 12 through 13, I appreciate seeing people work hard, move with a purpose, as they used to say in the military. Titus 1, 12 through 13. My mom used to have this mechanic. You go to this guy's shop, and he was working and working out at the same time, because he would almost sprint from place to place. The guy would move so quickly, he was wasting no time, working for himself, of course. So, but he was a diligent guy, clearly, just by the way he walked. Titus 1, 12 through 13 says, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. So these Cretans had a bad reputation that preceded them. They were slow bellies. In other words, they were sluggards. They were slow, lazy, indolent. And Paul says that the preacher was supposed to rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith. Not only were they lazy, they were liars and evil beasts. So you get those, that's like a trifecta of wickedness right there. A lazy, lying, evil beast. Not exactly a good church member to have, I wouldn't think. So yeah, no wonder Titus was supposed to rebuke them sharply. So sluggards are lazy and worthless. I'm just going to show you what the scripture says, what Proverbs says about sluggards. First of all, Proverbs 6:9, which we'll get to here in a couple of, maybe next time, I think. Proverbs 6 and verse 9 says, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? So sluggards love to sleep a lot. They sleep in. They just toss and turn. They don't want to get up. They're just lazy. That's all. But they've always got an excuse. Oh, I'm tired. I'm just so tired. I just don't feel like I can get up. No, you're lazy. That's what your problem is. I mean, we're all tired. I'm tired when I get up. I'm not a natural morning person. I get up at 5 o'clock every morning. I'm not a morning person. I hate getting up. It's miserable. Every time I get up, I drag myself out of bed. set the alarm. I just do it because I got stuff to do. I mean, I don't want to sleep my life away. Sluggards will let you down if you count on them to do something. Proverbs 10 and verse 26. Proverbs 10:26 says, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. You ever take vinegar and put it on your teeth? You know how that feels? It's like that, not even bitter, like that bitey, you know what I'm talking about? Like that, it's hard to describe, but you know what it is, right? And smoke to the eyes. Stand next to a campfire and let the smoke blow in your eyes, right? Those are both irritating things, right? They're not desirable things. Well, send a sluggard, send a lazy bum to do something for you, and you'll have the same feeling as smoke in the eyes and vinegar to the teeth. It'll be irritating because he's either not going to do it or he's going to take forever to do it and he's not going to get back when he's supposed to. Guy like that, you just need to fire him. That's all. Get rid of him. Sluggards want things that other people have, but they usually don't end up with much wealth or possessions because they're too lazy to work for them. Proverbs 13 and verse 4. We got a country full of people like this. They're envious of people that are more wealthy than they are, but they're not doing anything about it. They're just envious. And then they think that we should vote in politicians that can steal it from people that work and give it to people that don't. That's why this country is on the verge of collapse. Because once a republic devolves into a democracy and the majority realize that we can just vote ourselves a piece of the pie, we can just vote for these thieves that will steal it from people that work and give it to us. And, you know, once that happens, and you got, of course, more people that are not working than are working, and then wealth just diminishes down to nothing. And then people that are working don't feel like working to give it to a bunch of bums that aren't. And they stop working, like the old Atlas Shrugged novel. And then they try to move off somewhere where they can keep the fruits of their labor. And I don't blame them. That's also why, if you'll notice, if you've been paying attention in this country, they have been making it harder and harder to renounce your citizenship and get out of this country. You got to pay big-time fees to file the paperwork to get out. That's what happens. When you're heading down that socialist road, they want to keep you. And it's like Ron Paul said when they asked him about building the wall years ago, and he was not in favor of building a wall. He said, because walls can keep people in just like they can keep people out. So yeah, they got plans. Now, sluggards will usually at least get up off their lazy butts to vote for the politician who can rob others to give money to him. So they'll do that. But, you know, that's about it. Getting them out in front of getting them away from the TV is pretty difficult unless it comes to voting day. Sluggards won't work in difficult conditions, and therefore they will end up being poor. Proverbs 20 and verse 4. It's funny, in this country, there's a real divide. Because on one hand, you have a lot of Americans work more hours than I think pretty much anybody else on the globe. You know, you got people that are just workaholics and work like crazy and take their work home, and they're super diligent and industrious. And then you have the other half of the population, they're a bunch of lazy bums. And it seems like there's not a whole lot of middle road in between those two. You got the really diligent and the really lazy in this country. Proverbs 20 and verse 4 says, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. You see, this is the way it used to work when you didn't plow. Oh, it's cold out there. I don't want to get out yet. I'll just wait. I'll wait to get my crop put in. And then next week comes and, well, you know, it's still cold. It's rainy. I don't feel like it now. And before you know it, it's too late. And then harvest comes and you have nothing. And back in the old days, you know, before we had socialist utopias, when you did something like that, you begged and had nothing. Nowadays, you just sign up for welfare. That's all. Totally different. I've told this story before, but it's been quite a while, so I'll tell it again. It's good to have Bible verses memorized that will condemn you when you want to do something stupid. Back when I lived in Pennsylvania, years ago, probably in 2007, I would say, I had this old Ford Escort, and I was driving home in the middle of a quite awful snowstorm, and my car was barely running. It was like hitting on two cylinders or something, and just running terribly. And So when I got home and where I lived, I mean, you barely make it through the driveway. There's so much snow. And then I had to run, you know, walk down to the house through the yard through, you know, a foot of snow or something. And by the time I got in the house, I didn't want to go out and do anything. And I just kept thinking about that car. I'm like, whatever, I'm just going to drive it. I don't care if it blows up. It's old. I'm just done with it. And then that verse ran through my head. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. So I threw my coat back on and I went up there and popped the hood in the middle of the snowstorm and looked and see if I can find out what's wrong. And all it was a spark plug wire had come out of the clip and was lying on the exhaust manifold, shorting out. And I just picked it up, put it back in the connector, and that was it. That's all I had to do. Now, if I'd have been a lazy idiot, I could have just driven it and blown it up, or I could have spent 2 seconds and put it back in the clip. And then eventually got a new spark plug wire for it, but I didn't even really need to do that, not immediately anyway. So, just a good idea to have Bible verses memorized, so they will stop you dead in your tracks when you're thinking of doing something dumb. Then sluggards will not work in difficult conditions. Oh, I already said that. They also have an excuse for their laziness. And they think that they're smarter than everybody else who's trying to give them reasons why they should be working. Proverbs 26 and verse 16. That's the things with lazy people. They always have an excuse, and they always think they're smarter than everybody else. And when everybody else tells them what they should be doing, you know, you really should be working. Oh, no, I don't need to because of this and that, whatever, some reason why I shouldn't be working. Proverbs 26 and verse 16 says, the sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than 7 men that can render a reason. He's got 7 sharp, wise friends that can tell him why he ought to be working. And nope, these guys are all stupid. They don't know. I don't need to be working. That's the way sluggards work. Now, a sluggard has a large brain compared to an ant. All right, compared to an ant, he's got a pretty big brain. An ant has a brain that is 1,000,000 times smaller than a sluggard. I have a quote here that'll demonstrate that. This is from Science and a publication called Science in Poland. It was called Small Ants and Their Big Brains. Now, I think this is quoting somebody speaking, so and I double-checked just to make sure that I didn't mess up this quote because it doesn't really flow and make grammatical sense, but you'll get what the person is saying anyway. It said, human brain volume is 1.1 to 1.2 liters of ant brain, an average of approximately 1 microliter, so 1,000,000 times smaller. So the sluggard has the brain, like I said, 1,000,000 times bigger than the ant. Yet the Lord tells the sluggard to consider the ways of the ant to gain wisdom from her. Now, that's a pretty embarrassing thing for the sluggard. When the Lord tells you to look at an ant with a pin brain and says, learn from him, or learn from her in this case, the ant's called a her, that's embarrassing. So he says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways. Animals, as I've mentioned, can teach us things if we pay attention. Look at Job chapter 12 and verse 7. Job 12 and verse 7. There is an epidemic out there, far more dangerous than COVID, of millennials not working, staying in their parents' basement. There's a record number of millennials living with their parents now. Now I get, yeah, there is a lot of unemployment right now because of the scamdemic. But this was a pattern that happened before the scamdemic. And these parents that allow that to happen are just stupid fools. They had to kick them out. Just tell them, like, you have 1 month and you are out. I don't care if you're sleeping on the street. I don't care what happens to you. You are out. Get out of my house.
Because they've got all these student loans, you know.
Yeah.
That
right.
They're trying to get forgiven.
Yeah, and they probably will.
They're so educated, figure it out.
Yeah, educated fools.
I want a refund.
A refund, yeah. Well, that's the moral hazard of the forgiving student loans, because the people that didn't pay for them are going to get them forgiven, and the people that did are going to be the suckers. And then, of course, if they're going to continue to forgive them into the future, then what does that tell universities to do, except jack prices up sky high because nobody has to pay for it except the taxpayer, of course. So yeah, that's a disastrous policy. Job 12 and verse 7. But you know what? Being hungry is a really good incentive to work. And if parents just said, you are out, 1 month you're out, I don't care if you starve to death, you are out of here. I guarantee you those kids would start working or stealing or something, but they wouldn't be in the house anymore, put it that way. Job 7 and verse 12. Job 12, 7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. So yeah, if you need to know, boy, should I be working or should I not? Well, just go talk to the beasts. Go talk to the ants. They'll tell you. It said, consider her ways. Consider means to view or contemplate attentively, to survey, examine, inspect, scrutinize. So scrutinize, contemplate the way of the ant. That's what the Lord is telling the sluggard to do. Get off his lazy butt, go to an anthill, and watch the ants work. And when you see how they work, you say, huh, boy, if a little ant with a pin brain can do it, I probably can too, and I should be. That's what he's telling us to do. As he watches, he should contemplate attentively and scrutinize how they work diligently and cooperate with others to provide for themselves. Because there is two things with the ants. They work hard, and they cooperate. They work with other ants to achieve their goals. So here are some of the things a sluggard can learn from ants. And I think this is pretty neat, interesting stuff. Ants are one of the world's strongest creatures by size. This is a quote from an article called 10 Fascinating Facts About Ants from ThoughtCo. It says, ants can carry objects 50 times their own body weight in their jaws. Relative to their size, their muscles are thicker than those of larger animals, even humans. This ratio enables them to produce more force and carry larger objects. If you had muscles in the proportions of ants, you'd be able to heave a Hyundai over your head. That's a car. So if you had muscles that were proportionately strong to an ant, you could take a car and lift it up over your head and carry it. Think about that. That shows you how strong an ant is. Ants don't let their small size be an excuse for not using the strength that God has given them. I mean, in this economy, or I should say in a capitalist productive economy anyway, there's pretty much no excuse for anybody not working because just about anybody can get some kind of a job. Greeters at Walmart. You can literally sit there in a chair and do absolutely nothing and have a job that is productive at Walmart.
They don't have that anymore.
They don't?
They eliminated that job.
Oh, did they?
Now they have counters. Oh.
They have what? Counters? People that count people coming in?
On the iPad, the counter.
Oh, okay. But still, there are jobs like that. There are jobs for mentally handicapped people, right? And if there wasn't minimum wage, there'd be a lot more jobs for mentally handicapped people and kids.
She knows of a girl that we think has two jobs that's in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. At Longhorn and Cracker Barrel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen little midgets, literally an actual midget, working at Hy-Vee, and that little dude, and he had to jump up to do everything, pretty much jump up to hit the button, jump up, and he wasn't having any pity. Like, I just almost felt bad for the guy, and I'm thankful I didn't say anything to him, because I could just tell by his demeanor, he didn't want your pity. He's working to provide for himself. He didn't want you to feel bad for him.
There's a lot of handicapped people like that. They don't want the pity. They want it.
Right.
An opportunity.
Good for them.
And I've also seen the reverse, where there's a lot of quote-unquote handicapped who use that handicap to get disability because they don't want to work.
Oh, yeah.
Like dyslexia with 100% disability.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another epidemic in this country. And really, since the Great Recession, the number of people on disability skyrocketed because once they ran out of unemployment, then all of a sudden they're disabled. Oh, I can't work because my back hurts or because of this or that. So, yep. There's going to be a day of reckoning coming one of these days. Mark my words. Ants are farmers who work smart and hard to provide for themselves. This is interesting. I did not know that ants were farmers. I cut just a little section out of this. You see that little ellipsis there? I cut a little section out of this quote because they talked about 100 million years ago, all this BS, and I just didn't even feel like reading it. It says here, fungus farming ants used sophisticated horticulture techniques to enhance their crop yields, including secreting chemicals with antibiotic properties to inhibit mold growth and devising fertilization protocols using manure. Well, think about that. Ants figured out all that stuff. Of course, it was programmed into them by the Lord. But still, go to the ant thou sluggard. Look at how he does it. He doesn't need Monsanto seeds. He goes out there and does it the old-fashioned way. Uses fertilizer and uses his antibiotics that he produces to keep the mold from growing. Ants go in search of food, and then they lead others to it instead of relying on a government handout. You see, they don't just sit at home waiting for a check. They go out there and look for work. It says, by following pheromone trails laid by scout ants from their colony, foraging ants can gather and store food efficiently. A scout ant first leaves the nest in search of food, wandering somewhat randomly until it discovers something edible. It then consumes some of the food and returns to the nest in a direct line. It seems scout ants can observe and recall visual cues that enable them to navigate quickly back to the nest. Along the return route, the scout ant leaves a trail of pheromones, which are special scents they secrete that guide their nestmates to the food. The foraging ants then follow the path designated by the scout ant, each one adding more scent to the trail to reinforce it for others. Worker ants continue walking back and forth along the trail until the food source is depleted. This is absolutely fascinating how they do this. And I've actually witnessed this myself. I just told this story the other day to somebody. We had mice in our apartment back in Minnesota, and we set mouse traps with peanut butter on them, and I kept noticing the peanut butter was gone, completely cleaned off. I mean, there was absolutely not one little scintilla of peanut butter on that mouse trap, and I just thought, how in the world can a mouse do that? And then one day I walk over there and I look, and there's a trail of ants going to the mouse trap. That little scout ant found the peanut butter, went back to the other ones, and they all just marched out there back and forth and ate all the peanut butter off the trap. Completely cleaned it up. That's pretty clever. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. This is my exhortation to all the lazy, entitled Americans out there. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Ants form relationships with other animals and plants to achieve their goals rather than building a relationship with the government. It says ant plants, or myrmecophytes, I think that's how you say that, myrmecophytes, are plants that have naturally occurring hollows in which ants can take their shelter or can take shelter or feed. These cavities may follow or may be hollow thorns, stems, or even leaf petioles, if that's how you pronounce that. The ants live in the hollows, feeding on sugary plant secretions or the excretions of sap-sucking insects. What does a plant get for providing such luxurious accommodations? The ants defend the host plant from herbivorous mammals and insects and may even prune away parasitic plants that attempt to grow on it. So the ants aren't just looking for a free lunch. They're not looking for free rent. They're living someplace and working to make their way. Kind of like the people that live in an apartment complex that are maintenance guys. They live there for free, but they work, right, for their keep. This is what these ants do. They live in these little hollows of these plants, and they eat what the plant, the sugary secretions that the plant produces, and in exchange, they fend off other mammals and insects that want to eat the plant. So they're, you know, little defense guys, as well as eaters. Then the article continues. Says ants will do just about anything to get the sugary secretions of sap-sucking insects, such as aphids or leafhoppers. To keep the honeydew in close supply, some ants herd aphids, carrying the soft-bodied pest from plant to plant. Leafhoppers sometimes take advantage of this nurturing tendency in ants and leave their young to be raised by the ants. This allows the leafhoppers to raise another brood. Just think about this. The ants are so wise that they grab these lazy aphids and leafhoppers that are too lazy to go over there and get the sugary secretions on their own. They go and grab a leafhopper, carry him over and say, all right, start eating and start, you know, making this secretion stuff that I can eat. And then the leafhopper says, has a bunch of kids and decides, you know what, I'll just let you ants raise the kids and I'm going to go raise some other ones. That's incredible. Think about that. They are going to make sure they get what they want by using others to get what they want. So it's a symbiotic relationship. This would be kind of like busing lazy bums to work. These bums won't go to work on their own, but if you get them on a bus and you take them there and drop them off, then they'll work all day and then you can take them back home. Kind of like these churches with bus ministries. They bus in these bums to go to church and then bus them back and hopefully that they'll, you know, make a Christian out of them or something. That's what they do. It works for the ants. I'm not sure it works for church ministries, but I shouldn't say bum. It's usually little kids that they're busing in, attempting to get their parents to bring them in, on their own. So, and then ants have the fastest movement among animals. I thought this was pretty interesting too. This is an article from National Geographic Kids. It's called 10 Cool Facts About Ants. It says the aptly named species of trap jaw ant can close its jaws at 140 miles per hour, which it uses to kill its prey or injure predators. So that's pretty incredible. So they can't run all that fast, but they can snap their jaws really fast and use it to get themselves some food. They're not slow and lazy like the sluggard. The sluggard, he puts his hand in his bosom, won't even bring it to his mouth again. He's so darn lazy, he won't even feed himself. Not the ant. There are also some habits and tactics in ants that we don't want to emulate. Some ants actually kidnap other ants and force them into slavery, believe it or not. I'll read you this quote here. This is from the Thought Co. article. It says, quite a few ant species take captives from other ant species, forcing them to do chores for their own colony. Honeypot ants even enslave ants of the same species, taking individuals from foreign colonies to do their bidding. Polyergus queens, also known as Amazon ants, raid the colonies of unsuspecting Formica ants. The Amazon queen finds and kills the Formica queen, then enslaves the Formica workers. The enslaved workers help the usurping queen rear her own brood. When her Polyergus offspring reach adulthood, their sole purpose is to raid other Formica colonies and bring back their pupae, ensuring a steady supply of enslaved workers. So I guess it's not only ants that enslave some of their own to get their work done. Human beings have done this for forever. You know, I think stupid people today think that it was just an American thing, that Americans held slaves. I mean, slavery is as old as the hills, and there are still a lot of Muslim countries that have slavery to this day. Muslims are the biggest enslavers of people. But anyway, the ant figured out slavery too. I just think that's pretty funny. They just go in there and haul them off and put them to work. So it says, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. We're told in Proverbs 13:20 that he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Well, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, and he that watcheth wise ants shall also be wise. Go to the anthill, thou sluggard. Hearing instruction will enable us to be wise, and so will observing ants. Look at Proverbs 8:33. Proverbs 8:33. You can listen to me preach a sermon on not being lazy, or you can just go out and watch some ants. Proverbs 8:33 says, hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Hear the instruction from the ant. Watch what they do. This welfare nation could learn a lot from a little ants. Just look at people today. They've got nothing saved. They're relying on government stimulus to get them by. We've got this crisis now, and people are really hurting, and you know why? Because they didn't work hard, and if they did work hard, they didn't save anything. They had no rainy day fund. They were a flat tire away from bankruptcy before the scamdemic ever happened, and now they're in a lot of trouble, and now they're clamoring for the government to take care of them. You know they're going to be sending out $2,000 checks per person now? It was $600, and then Trump vetoed it. $2,000 a person they're going to be sending out. All I got
they to... T- agreed. To send out 2,000 per person?
Congress, what, yeah. Congress, they're gonna vote on it tomorrow. Yeah. Yep.
Did you hear about the money in that package that they're sending to other countries?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's typical pork barrel. Yeah, they always do that stuff.
I didn't have time to listen to the whole thing. I stumbled onto Rand Paul's speech against it before they voted.
Yeah.
And I didn't get to hear the whole thing, but
yeah,
he was pretty fired up.
I heard the whole
just
thing
about all the said, only I think only six members.
$900 billion. Almost $1 trillion.
Yeah. Well, that's just for the coronavirus relief stuff.
6,000 pages, they said.
Yeah. Yeah, I heard 5,500. Yeah. Yeah. No, of course, nobody could read it. It's impossible to read it.
Nobody knows what's in it.
No.
They'll sign it and, oh, my gosh, we did this.
Such corruption.
They're building two new museums and a new library for some crap that we...
Oh, they're giving...
Just to put us further in debt.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're giving millions of dollars to foreign nations for their own border security, all kinds of stuff. My recommendation to you, if they do send out these $2,000 checks, is spend it to buy gold, silver, or gold and silver stocks, mining company stocks, before it's monopoly money worth nothing. Personally, I'm spending mine before I even get it. I actually already did. I already spent the $1,200 before I got it when I thought it was $1,200. And now as soon as the ink is dry on Trump's thing, I'm going to spend the rest of it before I get it, before prices of the assets that I'm buying go up. So yeah, I've recommended you doing that before. If you would have listened to me before, you'd have twice as much money as you do now. So, and that was only a few months ago, because those prices have doubled since I told you that. But it's not too late. They'll double again. I'm certain of it. Now, it's not only the young that need to learn to be wise. Some people in the latter end of life need to learn to be wise, too. It's not just young people that are fools these days. Proverbs 19 and verse 20. Hear counsel and receive instruction that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So this is talking to old people that are in the latter end of their lives. They need to hear counsel and be wise as well. Because there's a lot of old people in this country who never learn to lay up for the time to come when they can't work. A lot of people. It's because everybody has been conditioned to think the government's going to take care of me when I get old. And nobody saves any money. Nobody provides for themselves anymore. And it's going to come back to bite them. Both young and old in this country need to go to the aunt and learn from her how to be wise, how to work hard, how to provide for themselves, and how to save up wealth during the summer and harvest of life so that they will have enough to carry them through the winter of life. Proverbs 6:6-8. I'll have more to say about this next week when we get to verse 8. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. So yes, people need to learn to work hard and provide and save during the summer and harvest so you can make it through the winter of life. And I'll talk about that, like I said, next week, Lord willing. Turn to Proverbs 6 and verse 7. Proverbs 6:7, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. It's a short little verse. This is referring to the ant. Verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler. So let's look at these three things that are listed there. First of all, the ant has no guide, which having no guide, it says. The ants provide for themselves and lay up for the time to come, having no guide. Verse 8, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest, and she does it without a guide. A guide is one who leads or shows the way, especially to a traveler in a strange country, specifically one who is hired to conduct a traveler or tourist, example, over a mountain, through a forest, or over a city or building, and to point out objects of interest. So a guide is one who leads or shows the way, in other words. Now, the ant has nobody to lead her or show her the way. She's got no guide. She just does it on her own. Nobody taught her to provide for herself and lay up for the time to come. So how then does she know to do it? Because it's common sense. Everybody should know this. It is common sense. Now, the reason why ants figure it out and people don't, and only people these days, no other generation was this dumb, but people these days, the problem is, it's because of the nanny state. If it weren't for the nanny state government, which provides for the needs of much of the population, nobody would have to tell our countrymen that they need to work, provide for themselves, and save money in order to provide for their needs when they can no longer work. Because if they didn't, they would starve. Nobody would have to tell you that, hey, you better work and save up money for the time you can't work. You realize what's going to happen if you don't. But nowadays, we've got a nanny state. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. It's a moral hazard. The government is a moral hazard. It is setting a lot of people up for failure. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 10. I meant 2 Thessalonians. That is a mistake in the outline. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10. Can I borrow this? For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. See, if not working meant starvation, everybody would be working. It'd be that simple, because nobody wants to starve. But the link between working and eating has been broken. You don't have to work to eat anymore. You cannot work, and somebody else will pay you to eat. And this country is in for a world of hurt, because we've adopted that policy for a long time. And the thing is, with these kind of policies, they work at first, right? Whenever the country is wealthy and you start off with a base where almost everybody's working and everybody's producing and you have a very wealthy country, you can tax some and give it to other people. And, you know, you can have some working and some not. But it doesn't work forever. Eventually, you get to the point where you have more people not working than working, and that's what's happened with the Social Security system. You used to have, I forget, it was like 7 or 11, I forget what the numbers are. You had a bunch of people working for every person collecting. Well, now, because of demographic changes, you have a lot less people working and putting into the pot, and a lot more people taking them out because of the baby boomer generation. And it's insolvent. It's not going to last forever. Go to the ant, thou sluggard.
I think that's the reason why a lot of people from impoverished countries want to come here, because of the welfare.
Oh, yeah. You bet that's why they want to come here. They'll risk their life to get across the border so that they can live off the government. Look, when you subsidize something, you get more of it. When you subsidize not working, you're going to get more of it. That's human nature. That's how it works. When you subsidize children being born out of wedlock, you're going to get more of it. That's why we have what we have. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, ants provide for themselves and lay up for the time to come, Proverbs 6:8, having no overseer. Overseer is one who oversees or superintends, a supervisor, especially one whose business it is to superintend a piece of work or a body of workmen, a superintendent of workmen, slaves, convicts, etc. So the ant has nobody to supervise her, nobody to superintend her work. She's got no manager, nobody there telling her, you know, do this, do that. You better be to work at 8 o'clock. I want you to see you here until 5 o'clock. You're only going to take a half an hour lunch break. No sleeping on the job. Ant doesn't have that. The ant just works. Nobody manages her to ensure that she provides for herself and lays up for time to come. Nobody tells the ant, hey, you better start saving. You know, there's going to be a time coming when you can't work. Nobody has to tell her that. So why does she do it? Because she knows that if she doesn't, she will starve in the wintertime and will be cast out of the anthill for being a bum. That's why. The ant knows. The ant's got no welfare system. Go to the ant, thou sluggard, which is my word to Americans. Which, having no guide, overseer, or ruler, the ants provide for themselves and lay up for the time to come, having no ruler. A ruler is one who, or that which exercises rule, command, or authority, especially of a supreme or sovereign kind. So the ant has nobody to rule, command, or have authority over her to ensure that she does what she's supposed to. Nobody's barking orders to the ant. Nobody is demanding and commanding the ant. The ant just knows, I've got to work because I need to eat. And winter's coming, and I can't go get food in the winter. That means I have to get a bunch of extra food in the summer and the harvest and lay it up in the anthill so that I can eat what I have saved until springtime comes, so I can make it through the winter when I can't work. The ant's got that figured out without anybody barking orders at her. Nobody bosses her around to ensure that she provides for herself and lays up for the time to come. Then why does she do it? Because she's got a good work ethic, and she knows that if she doesn't work hard and save for the future, she will starve in the wintertime. Go to the ant, the sluggard. We as intelligent, rational human beings should not need someone to lead us, manage us, or command us to work hard and lay up enough wealth to be able to provide for our needs near the end of life when we can no longer work. We shouldn't need that. The ants don't need it, and neither should we. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. We'll look at verse 8 next time, Lord willing.